It's time for Over There with Marella Rostroffer. Marella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. She's got a lot to talk about. I'm once again going to guess for the neutral country of Switzerland, but could be anywhere, actually. Hi, Marella. Tell me what the story is.
Hi, Jill. Yes, how are you? Yes, from Switzerland with a Swiss topic today, but that has international implications, and that would be the Davos Forum, which has now ended. But because last week it was just the beginning, I didn't know exactly what was going to happen during the week. But I feel that there are many things that are interesting for our weekly conversation. So they are... a few points that have been raised by the forum itself, which can give you give us a little bit of a direction on all the speeches and meetings and panels, discussions that took place in Davos. The first question is, how do we save the planet without killing economic growth? The second question is, can you be a patriot and a global citizen? The third question, what should work look like in the future? How do we make sure technology makes life better, not worse? How do we create a fairer economy? And how do we get countries working together better? So those six questions are actually very telling of everything that has been discussed during the week. And they have those questions, the forum has those questions online with the answers of different countries' representative or business people that were in Davos during the week. I think we can take a few of those questions and see more or less what are the implications and what are the results of those questions. One of the most important, I have to say, is how do we save the planet without killing economic growth? That is certainly one of the questions that is occupying most minds at the moment. Because it's very interesting to notice that while 2 years ago, climate changes and the impact of the environment changes were discussed about, but somehow still dealt with as a problem for the future, a problem that basically we would not have to deal with. It seems that in the past 3-4 years, things have accelerated dramatically, maybe due to the fact that we are seeing new phenomena happening in the world that we were not used to, and that somehow a large majority of people feel that things have changed. Not everybody sees that as the end of the world, obviously, but some people do, and they definitely want to find some solutions. Then patriot and a global citizen at the same time is also a very difficult question, as we know that patriotism and nationalism are growing all around the world, and remaining a global citizen that think for the world and think for everybody is almost an impossible task. Obviously, one always finds some answers that are more optimistic, But this is definitely something that is becoming an issue worldwide. Then a problem that is closer to people's everyday life is the work in the future. There is this fear of artificial intelligence that is seen a little bit like work versus robotics. There is this fear that some professions are going to simply disappear, and obviously new professions will be then appearing, but it might be for some generation a little bit too late to switch. So that is also a cause of anxiety. And there is, in terms of artificial intelligence, in terms of data, there is the need of new regulations. That has been also widely spoken during the week. There is this feeling that some companies in some part of the world are taking data without our knowledge. There is this feeling that there is no privacy anymore. One example of it is, for example, today we just read in the papers, Jill, right, that FaceTime was probably not as private as everybody thought.
And the thing that I find absolutely fascinating about that is that minor piece of information has been known by intelligence agencies since forever, because it's been used. And what I find staggering is, because at least you are talking from a place that has different privacy laws and a little more carry, but I find that most people over here are just sort of, yeah, so who cares? And I find that staggering.
Well, it's because there are perhaps a few answers to that. And one of those is that privacy in Europe has been also neglected, as you know, during the wars and during the time where, for example, East Germany, there was still the wall in Berlin. So the fact that Europe has had this kind of surveillance make European people still today much more careful with privacy, because over here the mentality is more like it's not because you have nothing to hide that it's everybody's business to know about it. It's absolutely not about hiding things. It's just about the right of having a private life that is entirely yours. So that's the reason why I think it was even Chancellor Angela Merkel from Germany who said that collecting data was in need of, in urgent need even of new regulations. So that and possibly international new regulations, so that people can still have the feeling that they have a life on their own, and that it doesn't belong to the public. So there is also the cyber security breaches that have been a worry, and not only for private people, because most probably there is most of the time nothing really special about cybersecurity on private people having a Facebook account, but it's about cybersecurity when it comes to governments, when it comes to hospitals, when it comes to airports. All of these structures have to be protected, and in time of artificial intelligence, in times of so many hacking cases happening everywhere, those structures take a particular importance and need by all means to be protected in order to avoid future disasters. So they are also these social media topics that are, of course, always on the table. And there is social injustice also in gender equality, in sex, different form of social injustices and racism and everything that can be put in the category of social injustice. All of this has been talked about. It doesn't mean that there is immediately an answer to it, but there was someone saying in an interview that while there might not be an immediate answer to everything, it is at the end of the day a good thing to be talking about all of this. And that's also the reason why I would like to finish our conversation today with Greta Thunberg. As you know, Jill, this 16 years old climate activist who went also to Davos, who is very adamant about the environment, who stopped flying many years ago, made also her parents stop flying, who doesn't eat meat, who says basically that our house is on fire and that she wants us to panic and feel the fear that she feels every day. Since many months, this young lady sits in front of the Swedish parliament every Friday, and basically it's called a school strike, which by now many, many students all around the world and all about her same age also, around 16, are following. There is some kind of a youth awakening. And this gigantic fear that while we as adults are constantly talking about climatic changes and the right thing to do, they want to begin right now and not with mild ways, but with drastic ways. One would argue that the power of the youth to always want to do things fast and strong, but in this case I think it has been a good punch in the stomach for many adults to see that young people are taking that very seriously. And while some are still saying that she's manipulated by her family or by certain lobbies or by anything, she comes out very authentic, and by all means she is saying the truth.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostroffer. Over there.
My pleasure.